Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We have learned that 2 Peter chapter 2 is all about false teachers. Their description, their deceptions, their damage. And today, moving along in the chapter, we come to verses 17 and 18, in which we will see some things about false teachers that have already been covered but are now being restated in a different way. And we shall also see some new things that have not been previously mentioned. But in either case, we will find it, I think, to be a fresh and helpful perspective. Now, again, the question is, why does Peter concentrate on the subject of false teachers so much? Why such an extended section on this one subject? And the only answer we can give is because it is evidently very, very important. It's not just Peter who is doing this. It is the Holy Spirit of God who is directing Peter to do this. And he is doing so because this is a vitally important subject and probably, even in Peter's day, a somewhat neglected subject. But whether it was in Peter's day or not, I can assure you by observation and experience that it is a rather neglected subject in our day, and therefore we need to give careful attention to it. Now, actually, on the Beacon Broadcast, we give careful attention to whatever text lies before us at the moment. That's what we do, is teach the Word of God verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And so we're going to deal with whatever subject is there, but we make no apology for spending so much time on the topic of false teachers. If the Bible does, we do. And it's as simple as that. We try not to write hobbies, but we try not to neglect anything that the Bible teaches. Everything that the Bible says, nothing beyond what the Bible says. That's our goal, and we are trying to do that by the help and grace of God. And so please gather around the Word of God on this Thursday, March 26, as we open our Bible to 2 Peter 2, 17, and are able to do so because radio listeners like yourself help us with the financial load. Well, what are false teachers like? Here's what Peter says in 2 Peter 2:17. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest. Wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest. What you have here is a double analogy, but both of these are pointing in the same direction. Peter says, first of all, false teachers are like wells that are dry. The well is dug, the hole is there. It has been used, that well, to draw water out of before, but you come and try to get water out of that well, and it's impossible because the well is dry. It is a well that has no water. Or, like clouds carried about by a tempest. And that would be extremely significant. Both of these analogies actually would be extremely significant in the modern, or in the Middle Eastern society to which Peter is addressing these words. Initially, of course, they are addressed to all of us by extension. But they depended upon seasonal rains, and they also depended upon good wells during those times of the dry season. And so to say that somebody is a well without water is pretty descriptive. And to say that they are like a cloud carried about by a tempest, in other words, blown about but never actually producing anything, is also very descriptive. They are, first of all, like a dry well. Sometimes this word that is translated well is also translated a spring, and it could be either one here. In other words, you drop your bucket down into a well, the old way of doing it, and instead of bringing up water, you bring up a bucket of sand because there's no water. You just bring up whatever's on the bottom of the well. It's going to be a muddy solution of sand and dirt and mud, and maybe not even mud. If the well's been dry for a long time, there might not even be enough moisture in it to produce mud. Or instead of the cool, refreshing water that you expect to receive from a spring, you find a dried-up mud hole. It's no longer running, that spring that used to provide water. In both of these cases, what you have is something that on the surface, by first examination, seems to promise water, but it delivers no water. The analogy is clear. In the case of false teachers, they seem to promise the water of life, that is, the true and living Word of God, but they end up delivering nothing of spiritual value. And of course, we know that they actually are worse than that because they often deliver things that are poisonous. But in this particular case, Peter is just dealing with the fact that you go to them for the word of life and you come away empty. Folks, we need living water, not empty words. But Peter says false teachers are like wells without water. And then he says they are like a rainless cloud. That's the idea of clouds carried by a tempest. Clouds accompanied by a strong wind, which would seem to indicate an impending rainstorm. In other words, abundant rain seems to be promised, but it blows over and no rain falls and the drought continues. It is much ado about nothing. It is sound and fury and nothing beyond that. Now, in the physical realm, we've all experienced occasions like the one that Peter described when the sky became cloudy and the winds were blowing and we thought, here comes a storm, get ready for the rain. And then, with the passing of time, the clouds disappear and the sun comes back out and nothing happened. There seemed to be the promise of an abundance of rain, but the promise remained unfulfilled. Nothing came. So, in the first case, here's a well. That looks promising. Let's see if we can get some water. But it's dry. There's really nothing there. It's all show and no substance. In the second case, here is a cloud, and it's even a cloud driven by the winds. That even seems to be more promising. But it blows over, and nothing falls. And that's like false teachers. Peter is drawing an analogy here, and he's saying this is like false teachers. They promise much, but deliver nothing. Their words are impressive at first exposure, but they are really empty words. They promote appearance over substance. They produce nothing of value. In fact, what they produce eventually is disillusionment, because what they give cannot satisfy man's soul. And it turns out that they are ministers of death, not of life. They promise life, they deliver death. That's what happens when a thirsty soul finds an empty well. If he can't find a source of water someplace else, it brings about his death. Kind of like the person who's stranded out in the desert and he sees a mirage ahead and it looks like a nice pool of refreshing water, and he trudges on toward that promise, and he gets there, and it's just an illusion. There's nothing there. Well, that's a similar analogy, not the exact thing that Peter is describing here, but it's basically the same idea. Here is the promise of water in a well, but it turns out to be an empty promise. Here is the promise of abundance of rain, but it turns out to be an empty promise. And in the spiritual realm, here are people who make much ado about their ministry, about their teaching, about their unique understanding of the Word of God and all of these things that they're going to tell you. They're great swelling words, and sometimes they will convince you that they can tell you things about the Bible that nobody else can tell you. But in the final analysis, it turns out they're not giving you anything from the Bible at all. It's all empty promises. It's all counterfeit teaching. It's not the true teaching of God's Word at all. It is delusion, and eventually spiritual death. That's what false teachers are like, dry wells and rainless clouds. But then the last part of verse 17 tells us where false teachers are going. Keep reading. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now we have a subject that Peter has already dealt with several times in this chapter, namely the certain judgment, the certainty of divine destruction for false teachers. God will judge. And here he puts it in this language concerning false teachers, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Repeated references to divine judgment, and all of them in reference to false teachers. But just take the first part of that statement. Notice how often in this chapter Peter refers to divine judgment. Verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. His first reference to divine judgment. Verse 3, being covetous, they will exploit you with descriptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Verse 4, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Verse 12, but these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed will utterly perish in their own corruption. Verse 13, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness. See how often Peter refers to divine judgment? Notice how little modern preachers seem to refer to the subject of divine judgment. I wonder who's more profitable. I wonder who's more correct. I wonder who's more God-honoring in their approach. Preachers who sound like Peter, or preachers who don't mention this subject. I'll leave that for you to decide. Until tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.